Radio Influence. The future is now.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Football season is pretty much right around the corner now, so I'm starting to get excited and time to talk about our beloved Buccaneers. Before we do that, let me talk about our title sponsor. It's Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. They're dedicated to your recovery. They have 16 Central Florida pain clinics and physical therapy locations. Hess Spinal Center and Medical Centers is devoted to helping you to the path to pain recovery. When you go through a tough time of a car accident and you have to go through therapy and deal with the doctors, you want to go with the best, and that's Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess. 1-800-618-HESS. Now, the Bucs training camp starts towards the end of July, the coolest time of the year, and it's just a little bit over a month away. So as Buccaneer fans, we're starting to ramp up now that basketball's over and hockey's over. It's time to shift our mindset to football. I don't know about you guys, but I find myself watching golf on the weekends, which I don't want to be watching. And I even watched 2 minutes of World Cup soccer. So that should tell you that I'm ready for football season. That is for sure. So Hard Knocks is something that comes out every year. And I enjoyed it till last year, I swear to God. Like, I just thought the Hard Knocks last year with the Buccaneers was very fluffy. Like, it's one of those things where I knew better. Like, I knew a lot of the players and their personalities, and it just seemed very staged to me. I don't know if it seemed staged to other people, but it just didn't seem real. And what happens is you watch Hard Knocks, and whether it's your team or not, you fall in love with a couple players, and you probably think the team is going to be better than they actually are. And we definitely thought the Bucs were better than they were last year. And I think that was before Hard Knocks. Now, this year, Hard Knocks is going to be in Cleveland with the Browns. Now, we're talking about an 0-16 team, second team to do that, the Lions being the first with my guy Rod Marinelli way back when. But if you look at this Cleveland team, first of all, with the first pick in the draft, obviously, and Baker Mayfield, personally don't love the draft pick. I just don't know if his style is going to really be conducive to the NFL, but we're going to find out real, real soon. But the Cleveland Browns being 0-16 makes them interesting just because, I guess. You can't go 0-16 2 years in a row. That's almost it's hard to go 0-16. Believe me, I was on some bad football teams, and we weren't close to going 0-16. You know, they say even a blind squirrel finds a nut. Well, the Browns didn't last year. But even though they're 0-16, they're kind of an interesting team anyways. The Cleveland Browns fans are very loyal. I don't know if they're still packing the house after going 0-16, but I remember playing in Cleveland when they sucked almost as bad as us, and those fans are out there in droves, and they absolutely love their team. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on Hard Knocks. By the end of it, where everybody's going to fall in love with a bunch of players from the Cleveland Browns. That's just what happens. If you remember last year with the Buccaneers, everybody fell in love with Bullock, who the linebacker, the white kid. Oh, this kid's good. And I didn't hear his name not one time all year. I think he played some special teams, I think. But I do not remember him making a tackle. So we fell in love with him for what? Chris Baker. Everybody fell in love with Chris Baker. He's funny. He's a leader. He didn't do shit last year. Chris Baker, if he made 5 plays in the entire year last year, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He did absolutely nothing. And at times looked like he didn't give a crap. And to me, and that's worse at times. So looking at this Cleveland Browns team, you got to look at it all with a grain of salt, obviously. But Baker Mayfield's interesting. I don't know if he's mature enough to be successful in the NFL. Like, I don't want to compare him to Johnny Manziel, but I see a little of that in him. I didn't think Johnny Manziel was going to make it. I think it was 100% right there. This Baker Mayfield kid, the problem is you have to be mature enough to to fail early in your career. Like, there's a lot of players that failed early in the career and they endured it. We saw a few in, you know, in our community with Vinny Testaverde, who, you know, Vinny was a failure early in his career. He was a first pick in the draft. But a lot of it had to do with his surroundings. And, you know, Jameis Winston's going to be evaluated for his wins and losses. Nobody's going to really have an asterisk and say, well, he didn't have good enough receivers, or he didn't have protection, or he didn't have a running game. That's not going to be there. You really get evaluated for your wins and losses, and that's it. I don't know if Baker Mayfield is mature enough to deal with the scrutiny that's going to come, a la, you know, Ryan Leaf way back when. You know, people like Peyton Manning were a little bit more mature than Ryan Leaf. He can take a little bit of criticism. Ryan Leaf wasn't able to do it, and he's still battling whatever the hell he's battling, but he's definitely battling. Josh Gordon is another name with Cleveland Browns that, you know, you want to talk about a story. The kid has all the ability in the world. Now, I think he played 4 games last year and came off the bench and played okay. Played 4 games last year, was suspended all 16 games the year before, and maybe played part of, you know, 2015. But this guy has been, you know, AWOL, and that's a lot of talent to have on that bench or you know, in the press box and not on the field. So Cleveland, if Josh Gordon messes around and doesn't, you know, mess up, and I would believe he's out of strikes. You get busted again for anything, you're going to be done. They're going to close the book, and that's going to be it. But Josh Gordon, when healthy and when you know clean, is quite the talent. And they brought in Jarvis Landry as well, who led the NFL in receptions last year. So they're going to have some talent, but they're going to also be very, very frustrated with a young quarterback, because young quarterbacks don't see squadooch. They just don't. They don't see anything. Now, if you guys ever want to email me, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. If you guys have any questions, I gladly answer them. I usually answer them on the podcast. I had a question here from Brad P. that basically is talking about Jameis Winston. And I'm going to get into some of these quarterbacks in the league and how important this year is going to be for them. But Jameis Winston, basically it says, how much do you put his lack of success last year with the play calling and lack of running game? It seems like he's not put in the right situation. Too many dropbacks and play action and not great play calling. Listen, play calling is important, obviously. Having good football players is more important, because if you have great football players, really sometimes play calling is irrelevant. You know, when you have a Dallas Cowboy team in the 90s that has Hall of Famers all over the place, you can run pretty basic offense and be pretty darn successful, because they did that. Now, is Jameis Winston going to be a better football player with better play calling and a better running game and a better game plan? Well, that's up to the supporting cast. If any team can run the football, it immediately makes your quarterback better. It's hard to be successful in any era of football if you can't run the football. To me, that's the most important thing on the offensive side. On the defensive side, it's become rushing the passer. If you can't rush the passer, you're dead in 2018. But if you can run the football in any era, that makes your quarterback that much better. The play action becomes that much more effective. And as far as Jameis Winston goes, it's important for him to win this year, period. I said that numerous times, because he's getting to a point in his career where greatness never takes this long, and greatness has always won at this point. Okay, you've had a long enough time now to put your signature and your stamp on your organization. You've been on the side of the building for a long, long time, and now it's time for you to show everybody there's a reason why I got picked first, period. So this is an important year for Jameis Winston. Is a play calling important? Yes, of course it is. But Jameis, you know, he can't attest those 2, 3, 4 bonehead plays every week to play calling. Do I love the play calling? Not really. Not really. I just don't find like we keep anybody off balance, but that's not all play calling. Some of that is just not being able to run the football. I don't think we stayed with the run that much last year. I didn't think our offensive line was good enough running the football. I think they were good enough pass pro-wise, and that's probably why it seemed like we were throwing the ball all the damn time. But running the football is essential. I don't care who the running back is. Give me five good offensive linemen and O.J. Howard, who did a pretty darn good job last year of blocking. Put them out there sometimes, and sometimes you can put two tight ends out there. It's all good. Cameron Brate, and then we go at it. So sometimes the play calling is overrated. Sometimes you want to line up and just punch somebody in the mouth, and that's it. But all the eyes are going to be on Jameis this year. It's to a point now where we could stop talking about Jameis in college because he's too far removed from college because it didn't really matter to begin with. He's been a winner his whole career until he got to the NFL. Now he's got to take it to the next level. But he's to a point now where, you know, if he loses this year, he's going to start questioning himself and maybe questioning his leadership skills because something has to change this year. And the leadership thing always comes with success. You don't have to say a thing to be a leader. You really don't. You know, you look at somebody like Eli Manning, who I can't imagine standing in front of a team saying anything. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. But when you have a couple Super Bowls under your belt and a couple MVPs, the leadership thing just kind of comes with it. It's not so much about the speeches, although a lot of leaders will be the ones standing up in front of the team. That's fine. And I know Jameis is that guy. But tone it down a little bit. Success. With success, everything else is going to come with it. Now, we talked about, you know, the leadership and the leadership and lack thereof we've had on this team in the past. And I saw an interview with Gerald McCoy, who stays in the media. He loves the media. And this is what I found, we'll say, a little hypocritical. He doesn't want it to be about him. Since when? Since when does he not want it to be about him? It's been about him the whole time. The whole time. He's been the one up there. He's the one, my team leader, blah, blah, blah. Now we bring a bunch of people in here with some pedigree and, you know, Super Bowl experience. And don't make it about me. It's always been about Gerald McCoy. It's always been when we need to get somebody to help Gerald. We need to get somebody to accompany Gerald. And it's always been about Gerald. And now he doesn't want it to be about him when it's always been about him. So I'm curious to see what happens this year because Quan Alexander came out and said, this is my damn team. This is my defense. I love that to death. I love it. As long as I put that film on Monday and I see Quan Alexander balling out, and I know that's going to be the case. I know that's going to be the case. So Gerald McCoy is getting towards the end of his career. I would like to see Gerald win something because like Jameis Winston, when you look at his, you know, resume at the end, they're going to look and see how many wins and losses. They're going to look and see how many sacks, how many tackles, where your defense was ranked. And none of those are good for Gerald McCoy. None of them. None of them. If you look at Jameis Winston statistically, his statistics aren't bad. Wins and losses are bad. So you're definitely going to be evaluated wins and losses first and foremost, but your statistics as well. And Gerald needs to figure out a way to be on a football team that he plays well on that goes to the playoffs, or else he's just that guy who led nobody. And that's what he is to this point. And Jameis right now is this kid with good leadership skills, but it hasn't really equated to anything. So that's definitely got to change moving forward. Now, looking at this football season before it even starts, you know, I still watch NFL Network and I watch the NFL Total Access and all those shows still. And I just kind of write down notes. And it's going to be a very crucial season for a lot of different quarterbacks out there. You know, the Dolphins not being too far from here. We probably see a little bit more Dolphin news and some other teams. Like Ryan Tannehill, for me, he's a quarterback to where, you know, these quarterbacks still, they continue to get paid. And your team never wants to give up on you because, like, Ryan Tannehill is good enough to win a Super Bowl if there's a lot of good football players around him. But he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. There's no other way to say it. He's a middle-of-the-road quarterback. He's going to get paid. is it, the Dolphins are not going to let him go, but he's mediocre as a quarterback. And that's not bad. Mediocre quarterbacks have won Super Bowls before when they had great talent around them. He's not going to win. He's not going to be the reason why they win a Super Bowl. He could be the quarterback, but they got to win the Super Bowl by running the football, playing defense, and being sound as a football team. Ryan Tannehill's not going to take him to that level. He's not that guy. He's not Drew Brees, all right? So we'll see how long that, I mean, how long do you keep on going to the same quarterback and getting the same results? And they've had some success with him. I don't want to say despite, because you have to give him credit, but you think Ryan Tannehill could take him to the next level? That's a thing that I don't know. And now in Philadelphia, that's just going to be interesting with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, because, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan. I played for the Eagles for 2 years. I don't cheer for the Eagles. They just came out with their Super Bowl rings, which are actually absolutely beautiful, by the way. You might want to check those out. Carson Wentz is the guy. Carson Wentz is the future. I'm not sure if you start a team now, you get one pick, one healthy player, you don't go with either Carson Wentz or maybe Jared Goff as the future. They have that much talent. But with Nick Foles on the bench, that's going to be interesting, because you just think about training camp reps. Like Nick Foles, who just won a Super Bowl, he's not trying to take slappy reps in training camp. Even though he's a backup, he just won a Super Bowl. So they got to treat him like the Super Bowl quarterback. They have to, okay? Because he won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz was on the bench, all right? So Nick Foles is a Super Bowl champion quarterback. So you got to treat him that way. And if Carson Wentz goes out there and just hiccups, you got somebody waiting right behind you. I predict that when the season starts, Nick Foles is not on the team. Somebody's going to have an injury and they're going to throw something at Philadelphia. And now all of a sudden, if you're a team that is ready to win, Andrew Luck, his shoulder doesn't heal right. Yeah, bring in Nick Foles, please. You know, Nick Foles' agent doesn't want him to be behind anybody, because that's not how you make money, backing up anybody. So let's keep an eye on Philadelphia and see what happens there with the whole Carson Wentz and Nick Foles situation. Now, before I continue and talk about some of these other quarterbacks, I want to talk about another sponsor that we have, and that is Blue Chew. And Blue Chew is the first chewable, and it has the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It's chewable. You take it real easy, about a half hour before sexy time. And we'll say that it works. I'm trying not to be too graphic, but, you want to pound your chest a little bit afterwards when you get these chews in you. Real easy. Now, I've tried Viagra and Cialis before. First of all, it's a pain in the ass because you got to go get a prescription. With this, you don't need to get a prescription. And the other pills gave me headaches. And this has absolutely no side effects. And it's actually cheaper than heading to the pharmacy. And for a limited time, you can go to bluechew.com and you can get your first shipment for free if you put in the special code Beckles, B-E-C-K-L-E-S. All it's going to cost you is $5 for shipping, and that's it. So go to bluechew.com, B-E-C-K-L-E-S as your promo code, and your first shipment's going to cost you $5, and that's it. That's just for shipping, and I'm telling you, stuff works, and you'll definitely thank me going forward. You can rekindle your spark without the hassles of all those doctor visits. So bluechew.com, promo code Beckles. Now, last year, if everybody remembered right, at the beginning of the season, Deshaun Watson, who a lot of people thought, should have been picked higher, he came out blazing. He looked amazing. I mean, I literally heard some people in the press talk about Hall of Fame, and that irks me, okay? For anybody to be playing four games and we talk about the Hall of Fame, that irks me, because that's just dumb talk. If you're in the media, you should know better than to put anybody anywhere after four games. You should know better. Because a name I brought up earlier, like Ryan Leaf was pretty good in his first four games. I want to say Ryan Leaf was better than Peyton Manning his first four games. And what happened there? He was circling the drain. That's what happened. So Deshaun Watson, after they put him in the Hall of Fame after his first few games, blows his knee out in practice. Now we got to come back and see what Deshaun Watson is when you take away his legs. Now, when you're a young quarterback and you can run around and you're all spry and you're running a 4-4 and you got this rocket as an arm, you can get away with not reading defenses the right way, not going through your progression because you're a great athlete. Now that Deshaun Watson blew his knee out, now when you take away the leg part of it, now you got to insert the brain part of it, and that's when it gets hard for a young quarterback. So I want to see how Deshaun Watson handles this and whether he's going to be healthy or not going into the football season. The kid looked really good for the limited time he played last year, but he's going to be a different athlete when he gets out there. So we're definitely going to keep an eye on that. And speaking of health, when healthy, Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback on earth right now. Okay, when healthy. I mean, it's not better than Tom Brady we're talking about career-wise, but when he's healthy, I don't know if you don't pick Aaron Rodgers. And that's because of his athletic ability. He's a substantially better athlete than Tom Brady. And it's really a better quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers is a fantastic athlete, but he's having problems himself with, you know, his health. And he's not getting any younger. And Green Bay is going to have to basically back up the Brinks truck when his contract's over if he stays healthy. And if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, then the Green Bay Packers are going to be always in the hunt. And they lost Jordy Nelson this year, but they've always figured out ways to, revamp their offensive power, and they have Aaron Rodgers. So they're gonna move the sticks, that's for sure. Now, other quarterback getting old and raggedy, Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting pretty close to the end of his rope, pretty close. But when he's in there, he's still a relevant football player. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a whole lot of talent there, and I think maybe they make one more run. It seems like the Steelers haven't, they lost Ryan Shazier, obviously, which is a big loss for them. Saw him on the sidelines. He's more coaching now, and it's just good to see him walking around. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have kind of lost their mentality defensively, because it used to always be you used to go to Pittsburgh and they would punch you in the mouth. That's the way it went. It seems like they lost that. And, hey, our Buccaneers have lost it too. I would love to see the Buccaneers get back to the days of punching somebody in the mouth. They haven't really punched anybody in the mouth defensively in a long time. And maybe with these new defensive linemen that we brought in, with the new attitude, maybe that'll be the case this year. But it's just been a long time since the Buccaneers have dominated defensively. It's been a long, long time. Now, I brought up Andrew Luck earlier, and it's to a point now where if Andrew Luck doesn't play a season this year, a complete season, he becomes irrelevant. I mean, everybody keeps on talking about Andrew Luck like he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He's not, because he's not out there. And when you mess around with your shoulders, and he's not an old guy, but he sure has old shoulders. And with Indianapolis, they never seem to figure out a way to protect him, so he takes a lot of licks. So if I don't see Andrew Luck at the beginning of this year, I'm done. I mean, I'm to the point where you got to get tired of hearing his name and his potential, because it's been a long time since Andrew Luck has really thrown a relevant pass in the NFL. Now, I've always been a fan of Philip Rivers and his attitude. He's kind of cocky. I just think I would enjoy playing with a player like that. If you look at Philip Rivers' numbers, he's had a pretty darn close to Hall of Fame career. And I would just say, just like Ben Roethlisberger, it's got to be Philip Rivers' time now. I mean, the one thing he doesn't have is that Super Bowl. They have some good young football players around Philip Rivers. So if they can figure out ways to play around him, they might figure out a way to get it done this year. That might be a long shot Super Bowl entry, is the San Diego Chargers. I think they may figure out a way to get some things done this year. Now, I want to see if Jimmy Garoppolo ever loses a football game. I think he's 6-0 as a quarterback. He played some with the Patriots and some with the Niners. And we're going to find out if he's a real deal, because, he was a backup in New England. So it's not the same pressure. And when you go into the end of a season when your team is 2-10 and you get a chance to play four games when it's really not that big of a deal, it's just a different pressure as he's going to feel at the beginning of this year because people have, you know, the 49ers going to the playoffs. So if you mess around and go 5-11, now all of a sudden your persona changes. But Garoppolo seems to deal well with pressure, and obviously he's always figured out ways to win. So we're definitely going to keep an eye on Jimmy Garoppolo. And over there with the Ravens, who brought in Louisville's Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco is getting towards the end of his too. And Joe Flacco, to me, is an older Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, I got to give Joe Flacco his credit for what he's accomplished in the past. But for what I see now, I don't know if he's good enough to win football games for his team. They got to be relevant around him. And with Jackson sitting on the sideline, who I'm pretty sure is going to look pretty impressive in practice, he's going to be looking over his shoulder. And sometimes that's not a good thing. That added pressure. And, you know, Joe Flacco, once again, his resume speaks for itself. He's, you know, been to a couple Super Bowls and, you know, has had some great success. But it's what have you done for me lately? And it just hasn't been all that cute as of late. It's been a couple, 3 years since the Ravens have really made a big splash. So, you know, everybody there in Baltimore land, they're used to winning. So we'll see how that whole thing turns out. But if Joe Flacco doesn't have success this year, don't be surprised if Jackson kind of peeks his head in there and shows a little something. Now, for those of you that love podcasts, like I'm turning into podcast guy, this is In the Trenches. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. I have Flavor in Your Ear, which is my podcast, talks a little bit about pop culture, a little bit about politics. I dabble in sports a little bit. And on Wednesday, we're going to be debuting the Cannabis Podcast, which is powered by Trulieve, the only place to get your legal marijuana in the Florida area. So you want to keep on looking for that. It's not the Podhead Show. It's going to be a show that's going to be informative. We're going to tell you what's going on in the area as far as cannabis and the laws and the regulations, because things are changing all the time. So the Cannabis Podcast is coming Wednesday, and that is going to be powered by Trulieve. Once again, I want to thank Hess Spinal for being our title sponsor. We got much love with them. And once again, Blue Chew, go to bluechew.com and promo word Beckles, B-E-C-K-L-E-S, to get your first shipment of Blue Chew for free. $5 shipment, and that's it. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast, and I enjoy doing it. The Buccaneers training camp is towards the end of July, so we're actually just talking to Jason about maybe doing a show or two at One Buck Place, which sounds very hot, but sometimes you got to take one for the team. So as we get closer to football season, we'll probably have a couple guests in here, and we're going to keep it live. That's what we do. Appreciate you guys listening in. This has been In the Trenches. Everybody have a wonderful week. Peace out. Kind of peeks his head in there and shows a little something. Now, for those of you that love podcasts, like I'm turning into podcast guy, this is In the Trenches. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. I have Flavor in Your Ear, which is my podcast, talks a little bit about pop culture, a little bit about politics. I dabble in sports a little bit. And on Wednesday, we're going to be debuting the Cannabis Podcast, which is powered by Trulieve, the only place to get your legal marijuana in the Florida area. So you want to keep on looking for that. It's not the Podhead Show. It's going to be a show that's going to be informative. I'm going to tell you what's going on in the area as far as cannabis and the laws and the regulations, because things are changing all the time. So the Cannabis Podcast is coming Wednesday, and that is going to be powered by Trulieve. Once again, I want to thank Hess Spinal for being our title sponsor. We got much love with them. And once again, Blue Chew, go to bluechew.com and promo word Beckles, B-E-C-K-L-E-S, to get your first shipment of Blue Chew for free. $5 shipment, and that's it. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast, and I enjoy doing it. The Buccaneers training camp is towards the end of July, so we're actually just talking to Jason about maybe doing a show or two at One Buck Place, which sounds very hot, but sometimes you got to take one for the team. So as we get closer to football season, we'll probably have a couple guests in here, and we're going to keep it live. That's what we do. Appreciate you guys listening in. This has been In the Trenches. Everybody have a wonderful week. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
I guess foolish of me to think that he would do anything different at this point. Now, I thought he would. Again, this is a little different. But no, he doesn't. He doesn't care. It's all about him. He can make his statement. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we hear about T.O. striking a monetary deal with one of the networks or media outlets, let's call it, where he can give his speech or give his dossier like he wants and get paid for it. That would be consistent with what T.O.'s personality and character has been. Personally, I really could care less about hearing him. Going to be a relief to not have to listen to him talk, because that's not something that's worth anybody's time, but certainly disrespectful. But again, dumb of me to think he'd be anything different. Didn't respect his teammates, didn't respect his coaches, didn't respect trainers, didn't respect equipment men. He had no respect for anybody. Doesn't know how to act, doesn't know how to treat people.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.